All right, I'd like to welcome the speaker up, Todd Tabon. Todd, come on up. I had the privilege of sharing with you guys this morning. Yeah, we're actually having some testimonies, like I shared earlier, and I thought, oh, it'd be kind of nice to have some kind of thing before we get right into the testimony. The testimonies are going to be great. The stories you're going to hear are great, but kind of just want to set the atmosphere for us as we get into this place of hearing what God has been doing in some people's lives. So let me start off with this question. Do we believe that God is good and that he is always working things out for our good? Do we believe that God is good and that he is always working things out for our good? Yes? Yeah, Pastor Barry, all right. He's the only one. And some other people, yay. No, he's good. He is good and he's working things out for our good. He's always working. He's always doing stuff. But you know, I asked myself that question. And I said to myself, yeah, I believe he's good. Then it's like, okay, so how do you react in times of stress and times of fear? Okay, I really believe that fear and anxiety, that's not a sin. That's not a sin to feel those things. But it's what do we do with the fear and the anxiety and the stress and the worry? What do we do with those things? Because I feel like that's a way that God gets our attention, but yet for us to stay in that place of fear and worry and nervousness and then just to meditate on it, we're like, okay, what if this happens? What if this happens? The Lord doesn't want that for us. He doesn't want us to live that life where we're putting our faith into something or someone else other than him. And he's saying to us, I want you to really think about if you really believe that I am good. Because if you believe that I was good and that I'm working out things for your good, then there's always hope in any situation. In every situation, there's always hope because I am good and I'm working for you to bring good into your life. Psalm 145, verse 9 says this, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works. And Romans 8:28, we've heard that one many, many, many times. That's like my life. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. God is working. God is bringing good. He brings good in every single person. And yet there are times when we forget that. We forget what he's done. We forget what he is, that he promises to do good things. We forget that he's going to bring good things. And we get into that place of, we don't say this. Nobody ever says this. But really what we're doing is we're aligning ourselves with Satan, with darkness. When we stay in that place of stress, worry, and fear. And especially when we let those things influence the choices that we make, influence the way we interact with people. I did that because I was afraid of this. I'm nervous about this. What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? And it's amazing that children of God, sons and daughters, would always, I find myself doing this a lot. I'll start with what I don't have. Instead of starting with, what has God given? What is God? He owns everything. And if he owns everything, and he is for me, and he's doing good, why in the world would I stay in that place of stress and fear? Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. But yet, that's what we do. And so, staying in that place of remembering what God has done, that God is good, that he's working for good. That's the place we want to be, especially when we're going through difficult times. Because difficult times will come. They will come. That's a guarantee to every single person. If you haven't experienced a difficult time, don't worry. It's coming. Okay? It's coming. It's not a, oh, maybe I can dodge it. Maybe. No. It's going to come. Guarantee it. But how do we go through those difficult times? Do we go through it with no hope, with fear, with stress, with worry? Or are we going through it like, God is going to do something. He's going to do something. He promises that. He promises that he's going to bring good out of every situation. And so I'm going to trust in him. You know, I think what draws us away from God sometimes is we forget what God has done, and we fall into the trap of, what have you done for me lately? So we kind of forget what happened, God came through this, God did this, God did it, and then we get into that place of, yeah, I'm in this situation right now. God, what are you doing? Come on, what are you doing right now? So we dictate to God the terms of our conditions based upon what we're going through. So it's like, okay, I need this right now. Why isn't this happening? Why isn't this happening? And then we also say the terms as far as the time. Why isn't this happening right now? And so then things don't happen. Maybe we pray, and then things don't happen. And then we go, God, are you listening? Are you good? Are you, you know, we start blaming him. And we can fall easily into that trap of, what have you done for me lately? You know, I remember, about 20 years ago, my dad, he passed away in 2006. But up to that time, he was an airline mechanic, and he would always work night shift. And so I would ask him, like, and he did it for, I don't know, almost 30 years. And I'd, why are you working at night shift? Why, you know? And he goes, first of all, it's better pay. But secondly, I'm just going to continue doing it until I retire. So I'm going to have this nest egg for mom and I, you know, my mom and him, to enjoy retirement, to go do whatever they want to do. So I was like, oh, okay, well, that sounds like a good plan. So just before he retired, he was diagnosed with cancer. And it was a rare form. At that time, it was something that they multiple myeloma. And so that was maybe around 2004. And then so he retired early because he had to get treatment and stuff. But it was all experimental chemo and stuff. And so he got so sick that once he retired, he wasn't able to enjoy any retirement. He got shingles to the point where he would, I remember him sitting watching TV, well, he's not watching, but in sitting in front of the TV that was on, he's not even watching it because he's in so much pain. And his shirt was off, and then I remember us coming over to visit, and he would say, even the wind that was coming through the window would just irritate, and it would just hurt. And he was on morphine and just so many different drugs that he wasn't able to enjoy his retirement at all. And I remember going through that and just like, God, why? Why? That the timing of that is just so, so terrible. Why would you let him get cancer? Why would you let him, he's just about to retire, and he wasn't able to enjoy any of it. And, you know, back then, this is like 20-something years ago, so didn't really have an understanding of God so much. But I saw, now that as I look back, I see that, so he passed away in 2006, and because of, so you think, okay, well, what was so good about, I mean, what's the redeeming part in that? Because of that, my wife Ida and I were able to receive an inheritance after my mom passed away, and we were able to adopt two kids from China. And so we see that because, you know, it's an expensive thing to adopt internationally. And so, yeah, because of all that, because of what they've done, because of that, the Lord redeemed that situation We were trying to have kids before that. We couldn't. And after they passed, that we were able to get kids. And I wish, you know, like for me, I'm going, okay, God, it would have been nice to be able to have kids while they were here. My parents are here. But I'm like, you know, God's timing is perfect. He knows what he's doing. So it's okay. It's okay. But I see now the blessings of us having Jackson and Eliana in our lives that I'm just going, wow, Lord, you were able to bring us kids and in a way that I never would have imagined. And so, I think a lot of times we can get into that place of, God, what are you doing? Why haven't you done that? Why, you know, what's going on? What's going on? And complain, and yet lose sight of the bigger picture of what he's doing. I heard Bill Johnson in a message, he said this, the backslider in heart will always judge God by what he didn't do. The backslider in heart will always judge God by what he didn't do. But those who run with tenderness for who he is will always define him by what he has said, by what he has promised, and by what he has done. That's the way we want to run. That's the way, that's the position, that's the posture we want to take. We don't want to be like backsliders or those that are filled with doubt and fear and saying, God, what have you done for me? Why aren't you doing anything? But we want to run with those that have hearts that are tender to the Lord. And we go, no, this is what he said. This is what he promised. And this is what he has done. And so in faith, I will trust God. I will trust God. You know, sharing testimonies, I'm going to transition towards testimonies now. Testimonies, sharing testimonies, they're a great way to recognize what God has done, to give him glory, and to engage with the prophetic nature of his workings. Because not only are we amazed when we hear these testimonies, not only are we amazed by what God did, but our faith is increased to believe that he can do it again. So it's not just, hey, you know, I heard a testimony from you, and good for you, Liz, good for you. I give you a golf clap. Oh, good for you. No, it's like Liz shares a testimony. It's like, oh, I receive that, and I claim that for myself because God wants to do it again. I remember Tim, I was meeting with Tim Hino, and we're just talking, and he goes, this one time I was praying for someone, and then this guy was complaining about his knee, and so they were hanging out, and so he just tapped him on the knee, and he goes, be healed in the name of Jesus. And then, so you know, the guy's like, yeah, whatever. So the next day, that guy went to go play basketball, and then he texted Tim, and he goes, I just played basketball. I didn't have to stretch, I didn't have to ice, I didn't have to do anything with my knee, because apparently it got healed. No pain. And Tim said, yeah, subsequently from that place, he didn't have to do all the stuff that the guy, I don't know if he had to put on a brace or whatever, but all the things he would normally have to do, he didn't have to do. And so I heard that testimony, and I was like, okay, I want to claim that for myself. And so I did that with Trish, and she came up. She said her hip was hurting, so just from my seat, I was like, be healed in the name of Jesus. Okay, yeah, thank you. She came up, did her MC thing, and then she said afterwards, her hip felt completely fine. And it's like, yeah, God, yeah, yes, yes. So the testimonies that we hear, we can claim for ourselves and say, God, I want to see you do it again. Let's see you do that again. And I want to be involved with that. Psalm 119, 111a, it says this, your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever. So basically what that verse is saying is I'm going to claim those testimonies that I hear, the testimonies about God and what he's doing. And I'm going to claim it for myself. Even though it happened to someone else, I claim it for myself. This is my heritage. This is part of me. And so I'm going to take it, and I'm going to step in faith, believing that God can do it again. That's a prophetic nature of testimonies. So we're going to hear a bunch of testimonies today. We're going to hear it. We're going to hear what God has done in people's lives. And I pray that this is something that each of us can say, I want that. I want that for myself. I want to see God move. And it may not happen exactly how it happened to different people, but to see the God, the Lord, move in different ways is going to encourage us. And we need to step into that. All right? Okay, so enough of me talking. Let's bring up our first first guest speaker, first testimony sharer, and that is Elena Recchio. Okay, Elena.
For the first time, I'm in fear, but I say, spirit of fear, go away in the name of Jesus. So my testimony is for the honor and glory to God. So my testimony is about a vision that I had last year, and I want to do a service for the woman in Spanish. And a lot of people say, why? You know, because of course I speak Spanish. And people say, why you go to Catalyst? Why you don't look for a community in Spanish? And I say, I go to Catalyst because one, I go because the Holy Spirit is there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the presence of the Lord is very strong. And I feel like this is my family. You are my community, and we're stronger together.
Yeah.
So I have this vision of this church. When I close my eyes, I see this vision with a lot of round tables and full, you know, with a lot of Hispanic women. And then I talked to Pastor Barry, and I share the vision with the group. And probably people don't understand me in the beginning because all my desire and the love for God is like, yeah, I saw the tables. And a lot of people say, oh, but it's a lot of work to move all those chairs. And put the, you know, I know it is a lot of work, but it is for the Lord. So I give thanks to Sister Dale because, you know, she's a planner. And then when she sat down with me and she said, okay, number one, number two, like, I say, you know what? I don't have number one, number two. I'm just going with whatever the Lord gives to us. So she said, okay, can we do it in the Freedom Center? You know, more tiny, more. And I said, no, I want something big. Like, up, like I want tables, I want people. So she said, okay, well, how many people we're going to invite? You know, we want the number. I said, I don't want numbers. I want just be open. Whatever woman wants to receive the Lord, healing, or whatever. So she said, okay, you know. I don't think that she was so, you know. But I said, okay, we trust in the Lord and that vision. So, and then I said, okay, Lord, we need someone to bring the message in Spanish. And then in December, I went to a woman conference, and then I sit down, and it was like hundreds of women in this church is in fire of the Holy Spirit. Everybody, you know, it's just beautiful. But I sensed the person next to me, and I was like, oh, Lord, why? You know, I start sensing things about the person next to me. And I asked the Holy Spirit, who is this person next to me? And when the pastor in the front asked all the pastors to come because she wants to pray for all the pastors, this woman stand up. And I said, yes, she's the woman that she's going to be in the conference. But I didn't even know that woman. But in the Holy Spirit, he was just putting everything in alignment. And I was like, okay, how am I going to ask the, you know, she didn't even know me. And then in the lunchtime, she was outside sitting, you know, it was lines and lines to people to get lunch. And the pastor, she was outside in the grass. And I was like, hey, I know it is a lot of line. Can you go with me and we can go and eat tacos? So I invite the pastor. I never meet her. You know, she said, oh, yeah. So we went and eat tacos with four more women. And then we come back and you know, she say bye and hi. And I say, can you give me your number? So I got the number because I know in the moment that she need to be here. And then instant, I know that she need to, yeah. So, and then I said, okay, God. So I was praying and praying for this pastor. And I said, okay, I pray for Pastor Sandy. And she didn't know that I was praying because I never asked. I was just praying. So I thank you, Jesus, for this woman, Yvonne, and I'm just going to pray for this. And then I was thinking, oh, we need a worship, someone to sing in Spanish. So I was thinking, okay, Marcy, I think she can learn a couple songs in Spanish. And I was like, oh, it is too soon. So I was like, God, you know. And one time I was doing the worship in the back, and then I have this picture of my friend husband, and I was like, so I called my friend and I said, Carla, your husband, you know, he played an instrument in church, or what is the thing that your husband do in church? And he say, he's in charge of the worship in Spanish. And I said, yes, yes. But Carla, she didn't even know what's going on. All those things just came into my head. But I was thinking it was the Lord that he was putting everything in alignment. Because this one, it was really in my heart. And why? It's because when I go to the store, when I go to the park, when I go to the pedicure, every place that I go, I just pray for people. I share my testimony. I help. But everything I do for the love of God, everything. So it is a lot of needs, and, you know, in the woman. It's a lot of hurt. It's a lot of abuse. My phone is ringing all the time because constantly I'm praying for people. 12:30 in the morning. One time I stay until 3 in the morning praying for this lady that she wants to commit suicide. So I was rebuking the enemy, like, go away in the name of Jesus. So I feel like we have a purpose. And God gave us the life not to look pretty. And, oh, yes, we are the disciples here. If we don't do the work, who is going to do the work? If we don't go and give and go, like, so I went and cut Rick's hair, the mom hair, and then she hugged me, and she have dementia, and she just hugged me, and she say, oh, Elena, thank you so much for all the stuff that you do and for all the women. She didn't know that I'm doing a lot of things for all the women. And she said, you bring joy to women. You do this. And I was like, it was the Holy Spirit through Mom's Rick speaking to me and saying, thank you, Elena, because you're doing this for a woman. So, you know, when Pastor Ross asked me if I want to share this testimony, it was just, this room, it was full of women. It was the Holy Spirit all the time. All the time you can see the women are crying. It was healing from abuse, from, it was just amazing. The Holy Spirit was just here. And, you know, that week, oh, and 4 people accept Jesus Christ, 4 ladies. So, and during that week, I start calling each woman. And hey, how you like the event? You know, how you feel? What do you think? And everybody say, what is the next one? When are you going to do the next one? The next one. And I was like, oh my God, if I tell Sister Dale, she's going to be like, oh. Because I feel it was a lot of work for the people that help. So I was like, and a lot of people say, oh, what is the next meeting? So I know the Lord wants, you know, we're going to continue doing this. I don't know when the Lord is going to open the door. But I just want to say this. Probably you don't have like a crazy testimony like me all the time, but I know the Holy Spirit highlights something for these 3 days. If you're taking care of your parents, that is your testimony. If you're taking your brother or your sister in the hospital, that is your testimony. If you're taking care of your husband, your wife, that is your testimony. You don't need to go out. Sometimes you work and do your testimony in your own home. So that is our testimony. We are a community, and we're going to be stronger together.
Thank you, Elena. You know, it's really cool because we can look at what she did and go, wow, this is like this amazing thing, this huge event that she put on, and how the Lord was working, how the Lord was using her. But, you know, this has been like step by step by step of obedience and trusting in the Lord that she has been walking for how many years. And so it's like, she's faithful with this, she's faithful with this, she's faithful with this, she's faithful with this. And so the Lord says, hey, I can trust Elena, so I'm going to give her bigger and greater things. And I think it's the same thing for all of us, right? As we are obedient to the Lord, it shows that we can be, he sees we can be trusted, and he can give us bigger things. So thank you, Elena. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The next person I'd like to bring up is Pastor Kyle Anima. And he's got some stuff that he wants to share with us.
Good morning, everybody. So for those that don't know, I've been on a pretty big health journey the last several months. My nervous system crashed at the end of January, and that's quite a journey. And if you want to know more about that, me and Damon recorded a podcast this week that we released, so I go into more detail on kind of what the last few months have been like. But I felt like God wanted me to come up here and share a testimony of some things that he's been showing me, so I wanted to share that with you. But what Pastor Ross was sharing when he was giving his intro, I've been battling a four-headed monster of fear, anxiety, stress, and worry. So those things, when your nervous system starts over, like my mind still had everything, I knew everything, but my nervous system had to relearn everything. So everything brought out stress and anxiety and worry and things that I never had before. And so it's been quite a journey. I'm making progress, so I'm happy to be here today. But God wanted me to share three words and three things that he's shown me. And it's for different people that are I'm not sure who, but I'm supposed to share these words with. And for somebody, it might be all three of them. But the first word he wanted me to share was suffering. So God's had me in this season, and it's suffering. It's been really, really hard. And there's been times where, you know, Pastor Robert shared a couple weeks ago where he shared the line, I don't want to die, but I don't know how to live. And I experienced that, and it was tough. It's very tough. But he's been having me on this journey of kind of coming to the grips of suffering is good. And so I wanted to give a testimony today to say, God, thank you for this season of suffering. And I never would have said this 3 months ago or 4 months ago. I was like, I don't know what good is coming from this. I kind of knew the verse that you were talking about. I knew that he could redeem it, and I had faith that he would, but in the midst of it, it was so hard. But he has, and there's times, I can count probably on one hand 4 or 5 times that I got to a place where I was like, God, I can't take anymore. And I would actually out loud say, God, this I can't do this. I know you can fix this in an instant, so take it away from me. Fix it. Like, I can't put up with it anymore. And I had it one time the same day, one time or two times the next day, and all within the same week, that he gave me some deep revelation, or he took it away in enough where it was tolerable. And I was able to say, oh, God, thank you for not answering my prayer. Because I wanted the easy way out, or what I thought I needed that way out, and yet he knew, hey, just hang on, I have something else for you. And so, you know, I have prayer people here. They've been with me on that journey, and they've, you know, spoken into me, and they've heard that as well. And I just give God testimony for this season of suffering. So thank you, Lord. The second word is surrender. So 4 weeks ago today, I had a rough day the day before, and I wasn't sure if I was going to come to church. And then God said, "No, just stay home. I have something for you." So I said, "All right, I can do that." Wasn't what I expected, but God got me to the kind of the pinnacle of what I needed to face. And of those four monsters, one was fear, and kind of with that was control. And he kind of confronted me that day, and he said, "You're letting the fear of your ringing, because my ringing, especially at night, early on, it was very traumatic. Like, I'd wake up and it would be so loud, I'd have to go on walks in the middle of the night and just try to make it through the night. And then during the day, I was kind of dreading, like, oh, I hope this night's going to be better, because it was so painful and so hard. But that kind of scarred me, and it kind of left me with this, like, okay, I want tonight to go well. And everything was about the fear of my ringing. And he confronted me with that, and I was like, oh, you're right. I knew it, and I kind of surrendered it up to a certain level, but I would keep taking it back. And that day he said, I want you to give that up. And so he had me play a worship song on the TV, and even listening to TV, listening to everything like that would stimulate my nervous system, my ringing. And so I played this worship song, and I just broke down crying. And I was like, God, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be called a pastor, and all these things. And every time I said something, I knew in my heart it wasn't true, and I knew he didn't believe it, but I had to just say it, and I had to get it out. And I said, I was even letting the fear of my ringing keep me from worshiping you. Like, how could I do that? And I cried for probably 10 or 15 minutes, and it was a messy cry, like a box of Kleenex there and littering the floor. And then afterwards, I was sitting on the couch, and he had me journal, and so he was writing down, and he said, that's the hardest you've ever cried in your life. And I was like, yep, that's true. And he said, and now you're broken and desperate. I said, yep, that's true. And then he said, good. And with an exclamation point. And I was like, and then he said this. He said, that's where I do my best work. I was like, oh, man. And it's funny, like, today, the verse of the day popped up on my phone. It's Paul in 2 Corinthians says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. And he got me to that place. And I said, fine, I've got to this point. And he said that the stuff you did for the previous months, it wasn't wasted. You learned things about your body and you got along to a certain point. But now I want to get you to a different place, and you can't keep on that same trajectory. You have to do it differently. And I was like, fine, I give up. I don't care. What do you want me to do? And so then he asked me to journal some more, and he says, you know, you've been worrying about your ringing, and you still need to pay attention to it. It's still like an indicator of what's happening with your body. But now I just want you to do what I want you to do. So just ask me, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? What do you want me to do? I'm like, okay, fine. And I didn't know what I was agreeing to. But the rest of that day, he was having me do different things. And it's funny because I was pushing myself. And when I push, my system starts responding and my ears start, I can hear it. It's like, oh, man, it's getting loud. So I went on a walk. I know it was either before or after dinner. And I said out loud, God, this better go well tonight or I'm not going to have very much trust in you. And I'm serious. I'm like, I feel like crap right now, and like when I felt this way in the past, my nights have been really bad. And so it was just, but if you want me to trust you, then I'm going to. And I slept about the same as I did the night before, which wasn't great, but wasn't bad. And I'm like, okay. And then I'll share more. Damon and I are planning to record part two of a podcast this week, the Lord willing, or it'll be soon. I'll share more details, but that week was an adventure, and I'll tell you that. But each day it built more trust, and I was able to, because what God told me was each time, so when I was journaling, he said, each time you do what I ask you to do, especially when it's something you don't want to do, you're crucifying your flesh. And so there was times during the week, and I was like, okay, you want me to do that? And I would tell myself, all right, I'm crucifying my flesh. All right, let's go. And I needed to do that to like kind of build myself up, but it was true and it was working. And so the last 4 weeks have been very positive, and it's been a lot of growth, and it hasn't been easy. And it's funny because even, this kind of bleeds into the next word. It's the last word was submission. So that he had me get to that place of just submitting my will, my control, my desires. And so even yesterday, all of a sudden, he just kind of was speaking. I had a hard afternoon. My ears just kind of went wild out of nowhere, and I was like, what's this? And I didn't realize all this week I was kind of thinking about, what am I going to share at my testimony? And I was putting all this like brain power to it, and there was another thing I had to do on Friday that took a lot, and God told me last night, yeah, so I also want you to ask me, what do you want me to think about? And I was like, oh, my gosh. The other one, I'm not a busybody as much as my wife. I know that one's harder for her. What do you want me to do? Because she wants to do everything. And I can handle not doing everything. But when God said that, like, ask me what I want you to think about. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a hard journey because I'm more of a thinker. But I could tell, like, oh yeah, I didn't even this whole week, I didn't ask God, do you want me to like plan? And he told me last night, stop thinking about what you're going to share today. I'll give you the words and you're good. And so I've been pretty good about it. I haven't been doing that, but it's going to be a journey going forward, but I just wanted to give God credit for seeing me through the suffering. I know a lot of prayers were by you guys and other people have been supporting me. It's been the hardest season of my life, but I can already see the fruit of it. And I've seen it early on. I knew that I would look back months and a year from now and say, oh man, I'm so glad I went through that. In the midst of it, I thought that was a joke and I would laugh. But God is good. He does work things out for the good. And, you know, I know there's people, I can look at faces in the crowd. I know people have their own stories of suffering, and I've seen the good that's worked out of that. So I just want to offer myself, if anything I said today stands out to you and it ministers to you, and you know, I'd like to meet up with you. My capacity is still kind of low, so we have to kind of figure out when to do that. But yeah, I'm willing to share my journey with you and try to support you any way I can.
Thanks, Kyle. Really appreciate you coming and sharing your story and what God is doing. You know, this morning I'm read Romans chapter 5, verse 3, starting with verse 3. And it said, "Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." And I feel like some of that stuff is what Kyle's experiencing, and I can't even imagine the stories that are going to continue coming out from what he's going through and how it's produced all this fruit in his life. And, you know, I'm sure this is a season that he would not want to go through again, and yet at the same time, it was like the best thing for him. So thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Kyle, for sharing. And one more S.
This is a plug for the podcast. If you want to know why I'm wearing two watches today, you have to listen to the podcast coming up, because God gave me this special one, and it's a unique one, and there's a reason I have to wear it. He told me I had to wear two today. So if you want to know about that, listen to our podcast this week.
Two watch Kyle. All right. Okay, thanks. Thank you. For our next guest, we're going to have Sharon Lee come up and share. Sharon has some interesting challenges happened recently.
Yeah. So at my school, I've been at my school for, I'm not sure exactly how many years, but over 10 years. And I'm like at the bottom. Seniority wise. So last year, because of low enrollment, I was moved from kindergarten to fourth grade. And that was a big change for me because I've been teaching kindergarten since Sydney was in kindergarten and she just graduated from Grand Canyon University. So it was a big change for me, but I felt like it was God's plan. I was confident of that when I started, and then after I started, I wasn't so sure, because when everyone found out I was moving to fourth grade, the two people that I was going to be working with were really excited. They were just so happy and so welcoming, and so it helped me to feel excited about it, even though I was scared because I was like, I don't know math very well, so how am I going to teach fourth graders math? And then the first unit was place value, and I was like, oh man, I really don't know math. So it was very stressful. I was staying up late every night trying to prepare for the next day, and I was just really stressed. We went to the retreat, and I was looking forward to the retreat, but I was also like, oh my gosh, how am I gonna prepare for the next week if I'm at the retreat? So during free time, I was trying to do my math lessons and figure that out. But the one session where Pastor Sam talked about the verse Matthew 11, come to me, all you who are weary. When he talked about how we should take on the yoke and just really trust God and surrender, that was like really good for me. And I had to like surrender, like, Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. I feel very inadequate. Like, I feel like I don't know what I'm doing. I can't do this. This is not me. And so it began kind of this journey of me learning to surrender. And every morning on my drive to work, I would pray that verse and just ask God to let me release control to him and trust him for what he had, and that he had a purpose for me, and that these kids in my class who were driving me crazy and had so much attitude, that they were placed there for a reason, and that I was there for a reason, so I just needed to trust in his plan. Yeah, it's been a hard year, but I've seen so much growth in my students, and it's been a great opportunity to work with my coworkers, May and Mildred, who have been so supportive, and I found out that both of them are Christian. I knew one was, but I found out the other one is too, and so it was just a really good time to pray for each other, to support each other. And because I'm the lowest in seniority at my school, this year we had to, well, they call it displace somebody. And I knew that I was one of two people that could be displaced. So I had talked to my principal and I had shared with her that fourth grade was really hard, and I really want to go back to the lower grades. And she knew that because, going back a little, there was a point where I felt so much stress and so much anxiety that, like, people were telling me, you should really take stress leave, you should leave, you know, take time for yourself. And I said, no, I can't. I need to show Spencer that when things are hard, that you can push through, you can trust God, that he will take care of you. And so I did something really hard. I wrote a letter to my principal telling her how I was feeling and how I knew she was trying to help me by coming into my classroom, but that it was so stressful for me because I was worried that I was doing something wrong or that I wasn't teaching the lesson right. And she was always taking notes on her computer, so I wasn't sure what she was writing. And it also went back far back to this time when I first got hired as a teacher, and the principal who hired me said, I don't really think you're going to be a good teacher. But this other person, the vice principal, she really believes in you. So I'm going to trust her decision, but you have to prove it to me. And so for years, every time something bad would happen or I felt like I didn't live up to an expectation, I would always go back to, it's because you're not a good teacher. It's because this is not for you. And so those things started creeping back when my principal was constantly in my room. So I did share with her how I was feeling. And I did it in a letter because I knew I couldn't tell her in person. but she wrote back to me and she said, thank you for your honesty. And she said, I really want to talk to you. And I was like, ooh, okay. Okay, and so we met and it was a really good time. The one thing she said to me that meant a lot was, she said, I know that some of the principals that have been in your school prior to me have not been good. and have been difficult. And she said, I truly just want to help you. She said, I got into being a principal because I wanted to coach teachers and help them to be the best they could be. And she said, that's all I want for you. I come in because I know your class is hard and I just want to help you. And so she said, if you can feel comfortable coming to me asking for help, then I'll take that as a win. And for me, that was very healing. to know that she cared about me and to know that God was trying to bring healing to that. And then she knew that I was at the bottom. So when she met with the superintendent who's in charge of moving people around, she said that I would be interested in going to a lower grade if it's possible. But she said she had to ask me to make sure. And then so she talked to me, and I said, yeah, I would volunteer if I could get second grade or lower. And then after I did that, I was like, I don't know. Like, what if I get into a school where I don't know anybody, or where it's farther and I have to get up earlier and get Spencer out to school earlier. or just there were a lot of fears. And I also knew that my principal was planning to retire next year. So it was like, well, if I could just stay with her one more year, you know, that would be great. And I knew that there were some people retiring. So I was like, well, then I could stay there. But I was like, I think I'll just trust in God's plan for me, because through this whole time, like, there were so many people praying for me, so many people encouraging me. On days when I didn't think I could get through the day, someone would text me, just praying for you or thinking about you, how are you doing? And so I could see different ways God was working in my life, and that he was saying, I see you, you're valuable. During the serving challenge, that was one of my little post-its I put all around the house. They're still kind of around the house if they haven't fallen off yet. And at first, when I did that challenge, I was kind of like, yeah, right, you know, but now I could say I really feel that God values me, because I've seen him do so many things. So about 3 weeks ago, I found out from my principal that I get to go back to kindergarten. So I was, when she told me, I was like, are you kidding? You know, like, really? And then she said, you're gonna go to Mokler. And I had remembered that one of my friends that I had worked with several years ago was at Mokler. So I was excited, because that was one answer to prayer, you know, that God, I don't want to go somewhere where I don't know anybody. So I knew somebody, and not just knew somebody, but she's a friend. And then Mokler is about 5 minutes closer to our house. So it also answered the prayer that Spencer kind of was like, oh, if you go to a new school, are we gonna have to get up at like 4 a.m? And they all like, so it's like we can go around the same time. And then just there were a few schools I was afraid that I'd get sent to, and I was glad that I didn't get sent there. yeah, and then this week our principal announced that she decided to retire this year. So it's like, oh, I guess like God was really working out everything, all the fears, all the things that I was worried about, and he's like, I'm showing you that I care for you, that I got you. Yeah.
I should have had Sharon share the devotional before. She's living it. She's living it. And that is so, so encouraging. That is so encouraging. When we see our brothers and sisters stepping into their relationship with the Lord and trust and faith, and especially something that's outside of ministry, in the sense of like not church related, that she's exercising faith and trust in the Lord in her work situation, and God is just opening doors for her. It's just amazing. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, for the last one, let's have Daniel Hing come on up.
Okay, I'm going to sit down. It's not a sign that I'm going to take way too long, but just feel more comfortable. Okay, so I just wanted to share my story about getting vertigo, and it was about 6 years ago. I was in Carlsbad, and I was talking to a good friend of mine, and I remember the discussion, and I said something like, you know, that's a spiritual attack. And then, like, less than a minute later, the room started spinning, and I said, I gotta go. And so this vertigo, if you haven't had it, you just get really dizzy. It's like a merry-go-round times 100, and I couldn't stop it. As getting nauseated and sick, just really bad. My son had had it before. I had no clue what it felt like, and so I struggled to really understand and have a full empathy for what he was going through. And when I got it, I couldn't believe it. One of the thoughts that came to my mind was, you know, if there are rooms in hell, this is one of them. Yeah, so just pray nobody gets this vertigo. It was really bad. We shut the curtains, so you couldn't see everything turning, even though you could still feel it. We were down there, and I couldn't move. We were supposed to leave, I think, in the next day or two, and so I wanted to leave, but I couldn't. It was just, I couldn't get out of bed. And so going through it, I could still think, but I was also trying to somehow, I don't know, stop it, even though I couldn't. And one of the things that came to mind is, I think I understand a little bit more when people are going through just major trials, you just want to stop it, and you'll do almost anything to get out of it. So it gave me kind of empathy for people that maybe choose a different way. But for me, I came to a point where this is so tough, but Lord, I'm not leaving. I got nowhere to go. You're the only answer. And after I said that, I felt the strength even through the weakness. It's like, yeah, this has got to be the lowest point in my life, but the Lord is still there. So my daughter-in-law, my son were down there along with Linda. She's a physical therapist, and at some point she called one of her old professors, and the professor told her a maneuver to help stop the spinning. And so she was able to do it, and even trying to do that, just any type of movement could make it worse, and did. But she was able to stop one side from spinning, or at least slowing it down. Both my eyes were kind of going like this, so it helped on one side, and I wanted her to do the other, but she said if I turn the other way, then the other side could keep going again, and it's not going to be able to stop. And so had she set up an appointment physical therapy. So again, 2 days of going through this, went to physical therapy, and I could literally see the room slow down and finally stop. That didn't mean that the vertigo was gone. In fact, you know, I've had symptoms for, yeah, about 6 years since then. Had a lot of prayer from our small group. Oh, I forgot one thing. I think it was like a week after I got it, and I was still battling it. Any little, like in the car going to the physical therapist, if you hit a little bump, your just brain just reverbs, echoes. It's just no fun being in the car. But I had this picture that I believe the Lord gave me. And going through this vertigo, I saw the Lord, and we're by a very small creek. And I just looked at him, and he got down, and he was lying down, and he was just smiling. And then he started rolling around back and forth, and that was it. I'm going, and it just reminded me that, you know, wherever we're at, he's going to be with me. He's just kind of getting dizzy with me. Just knowing that he's going to be there throughout. And so that gave me comfort in the healing process. So again, went to physical therapy, very difficult through the years. A lot of people praying for me, and went to doctors, neurologists. I started getting better. And, you know, from really bad, it's slowly getting better, but very slow process over the years. And okay, now skip forward to, what was it, sometime in March for the first healing ministry. So that was coming, and I thought, okay, should I go? and the reason, it's still there. I'm driving, and when I drive, I get anxiety at a certain speed. And it's usually around 63, 64, 65. But then Linda and I, we babysit for my son out in West Covina, and if I don't get on the carpool lane, then I'm stuck in traffic. It's going to take 20 more minutes to get to his house. So I'm like, I'm going on the carpool lane, but then, yeah, 64, 65, anxiety starts creeping in, and it's almost like a scary movie where the music starts coming, right, and you're starting to anticipate, and the fear kind of rises, and I don't even know if I'm breathing or not. I just, Linda, don't talk to me. Don't ask me any questions. Yeah, give me a mint so I have something. And I'm doing verses. I'm listening. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7, right? And so it's like I'm saying everything I can. I'm remembering God's love, but it's kind of creeping and anxiety. So, anyways, okay, that's where. Okay, yeah, maybe I should go to the healing ministry. And yet, at that same day, it's like, I don't know, I've had this for so long, and is something really going to happen? And when those voices in my head were there, it's like, okay, yeah, that's the enemy, I got to go. And so, so it came, and Pastor Dean was sharing his testimony, and then at some point, he said, yeah, my daughter Hannah, she was in Hawaii, texted him and said, yeah, somebody with ear infection is going to get healed today. And I thought, ear infection? Yeah? It's like, okay, not an infection, but ear vertigo, yeah? So I raised my hand, and he goes, okay, and then somebody next to us raised their hand. And she explained hers. I said, yeah, I got vertigo. Okay. And next person's like, yeah, my ears, it's been liquid coming out of my ears. And it's like, ooh, yeah. And so he goes to me, I don't know if I went first or second. So he goes, okay, so you're the one. Yeah, I said, yeah. He goes, okay. And he just prays, and he goes, okay, so how are you feeling? I go, you have to kind of do something to make it happen. At this stage for me, it's like if I turn this way and look down, I'll start spinning. My head will start spinning. He goes, okay, so see if it worked. And so I get down on the ground and I turn my head, go like this, and my head starts spinning. And I'm going, oh man, it's still there. And he goes, okay. We'll send you over. We'll have a team for you. But he said, yeah, you know, vertigo is not really an infection. He went pre-med or something like that, so he would know. And I'm just like, yeah, okay. And then he went over, and I heard later on he was praying for this woman with an ear infection, and she got healed. So I was like, oh, that was cool. Okay, so later on, so they had 10 teams of three that were up here from our church for the healing ministry, and you get a number at the door to see, you know, 1 through 10. I got 6, and people were lining up. And okay, so I just got to say this ahead of time: every team is amazing. I would have been so happy to go to anybody, but I was looking at number 6, and it's like, oh, Jody Nakamoto's over there. Is she 6? She's the head of our healing ministry, right? And I'm going, oh. And then it's like, oh, Sakura Reese, she's right next to Jody. And that evening when I walked in, I said, oh, Sak, how you feeling? You're on the team, right? She goes, oh, I feel really good. And it's like, I felt like the whole atmosphere just changed just talking to her. She was so excited. And you know, if it was somebody asking me, I was like, oh, I don't know, we'll see what happens. But she was like, oh, I feel so, it's really good. And so I was excited to see her. And then Ron Dietrich back there, he's been in prayer ministry forever, man. And so he was up there. So I got up here. I was like, yes, I'm so happy. So I go to them and say, okay, what are you here for? Well, not, they probably didn't ask that because they knew. And so I said, this is before I got hip replacement. So surgery was about 8 weeks ago. And so they're praying for me and just for alignment first for my legs. And as they were praying, said, oh, we're going to pray for you. So I had my eyes open and they're praying. And I'm thinking, should I have my eyes open or closed? And I think, wow, so that. Well, that's a stupid question. I don't know. So I just said, I'm just going to close my eyes and whatever. And so I closed my eyes, and out of this, in my mind's eye, this frame, I see Jesus walking in back of Ron and back of Sack, and he puts his hands on them as they're praying for me. And then after that, I'm thinking in my mind, oh, now he's going to go in back of me and lay his hands on Jody, but no, he doesn't. So he went from this way, and I thought, oh, you know, I kind of feel like he is going to be moving and praying for each ministry team as he goes from this way to this way. And so I felt really good. And so let's see. Okay, so they also pray for the vertigo, and they said, test it. And so, yeah, this is not fun when they do that, but okay, all right, I'll try it. I get on the ground, I do the head thing, and it's like, oh, this is different. So it changed. So it was like only 30% of 100 where it was when I was over here, sitting over here. I told them, yeah, something's changed. It's slower. And they go, and then Judy goes, okay, well, you know. And I go, all right, we're going to do this again? Yeah. So she says, okay, lie down. We're going to pray one more time. And so she prays. And this time, I don't see Jesus all the time. I don't see, you know, but this time again, I see Jesus. And he is standing up. He bends down. I'm on the ground. And he puts his hand out like this. And okay, I think he's reaching out to kind of touch my hand, kind of slow. And so I'm thinking, they're still praying for me. But I said, okay, I'm just going to I don't know if they notice this, but I just put my hand out from lying down just to hold his hand as his hand was reached out. And then Jody, she was still praying, and probably less than a minute later, she finished her prayer. She goes, "Yeah, I think it's done." And I told her, I said, "You know, as you were praying for me, the Lord." She told me this. She said, "I saw the Lord kneel down and lie on you, and then come from behind and lift you up." And in my mind, I was thinking, no, that's not what happened. But I didn't say anything. And then I get back over here where I sit, and I talk to Mike Gonzalez, who's sitting next to me, and he goes, "So what happened?" I go, and I explain to him what happened. And he goes, "Ooh, like you know, it's like," and I was thinking, okay, that was the right response. You know, I was like, don't get stuck in the details. Because she said, test it. I was kind of like moving all over the place. I was like, I couldn't make the spinning happen. It was gone. So I told Mike, and it's like, okay, yeah, the Lord was helping you up. It was finished, just like Jody said. And so I was thinking, all right, I couldn't make it happen, but then I don't want to put God to the test, but I do want to test my healing. And so I had to drive the freeway again, and this was Sunday, the Monday, and I forget what days now we're, because it changed, go out to visit my son, babysit, and I go into the carpool lane, and it already feels different. And I'm moving, and I get up to speed, and it's like I kind of feel a bit of joy driving. Like, this is different. This is the way it should be. And I keep going, and then a lot of times at the 5 intersection with the 605, things start slowing down because, it gets congested over there. And then people kind of jump into the carpooling or whatever. You gotta slow down in the carpooling too. And that's when a lot of times when the speed changes, stuff happens for the vertigo. And it didn't happen. And I felt really, really good. I got all the way there. And on the way back home, didn't happen too. And so, yeah, just really, really thankful. Just amazing. His miracles are just mind-blowing. I'm so thankful. I don't know what caveats, but I had to have physical therapy. And when I'm doing that, I'm lying on the table. And I did have to turn back and forth. And I did feel a little bit of the vertigo. But I talked to Jody, and she said, yeah, there's different types of healing, physical and spiritual. And I noticed that she was doing more of like deliverance for me. And so it's like it's so much better, but it's not while driving ever. And so the one thing that happened, and they had warned me that evening, it's like, yeah, if you feel like something's coming back, it may be a little bit different. And I remember like the third time I went to go to my son's house, I got a bad headache, and it was like right here, and it kind of reminded me of the vertigo, but it was totally different. It was a headache, not like anxiety. And I remember what he said, and I said, "Yeah, this is the enemy trying to creep in and take something away." And then after that, it didn't happen again. So, again, yeah, thankful and just praise God.
Worship team, if you can come on up.
Wow. Those are amazing testimonies of what the Lord did. And some of those things, I'm like, wow, I didn't even know that. And so I was just blessed hearing it for the first time for some of these things. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in our church and in our people. And God, it's just like Daniel was saying, this is the joy that starts coming out when we start seeing people being released and experiencing freedom from something that may have been hindering them for years. and yet to see people set free and getting healed. And it's just amazing. So the joy that comes out. And so let's sing a few more songs and really give the Lord the glory that he deserves. Give him the praise and the glory that he deserves, and that we just, you know, want to minister to him in that place. So let's worship him.